When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right, let's pray to the Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to come into your presence, to be able to speak to you, to ask for mercy and ask for grace to help in time of need. And Lord, this is a time of need because we need you every day. So Lord, we're asking for your grace. And Lord, there is no doubt specific needs in individual lives and hearts today. And Lord, the greatest need is if there's anybody here who does not know for sure that they have a home with you in heaven, if they were to breathe their last breath right here this morning. Lord, please help them to see the simplicity of the gospel and to trust you, Lord Jesus Christ, to be their Savior. And Lord, I pray for your children, Lord, those who are saved and have that assurance. I pray that you would please, as a loving Father, as our loving Father, Lord, that you would provide for our needs. You would speak to us. You would give us the truth that we need to hear, whether it be encouragement or chastening. Lord, you know what's best, Lord, and I pray you would please bless and work through the preaching. Please help me as I preach, Lord. Please may it be your message. Let me be just the servant that delivers it. And I pray we would have ears to hear, and we would have soft hearts that would receive the word, and then that we wouldn't deceive ourselves by just being hearers and not doers. Lord, help us to go out the door being doers of your word, lest we deceive our own selves. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes, the title of my message this morning is called, Who Will Go? Who will go? And we are looking, we started off here reading in the book of Acts, and it's funny, the things that you kind of take for granted, or maybe you just kind of skip over when you're used to reading things in the Bible, or used to having conversations about Scripture, about the Christian life. You know, sometimes it's easy to skip over the title here of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is exactly what the title says it is. It's a book of actions. It is the actions of the apostles that the apostles took in obeying the Lord's last command to them. And what was that command to them? It was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was the command to them, and as we read through the book of Acts and on into most of the New Testament, that's what it is. You are reading about real people, real men and women that are simply obeying what God said. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that's what we're doing. So we are reading just accounts of different people and what they're doing and how the Lord is using them and working through them and the great miracle, the work that God is doing to save people, and after they're saved to be established and grounded as Christians as they gather together in churches and they continue on doing that work. That's what we're reading about in the book of Acts. In that there are two keys, two things that were critical to that work happening. The first of those is the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now a witness, if you think of a courtroom, a witness is simply somebody who says what they've seen or says what they heard or what they saw happening. They're just reporting what was personal to them. The Lord said to the disciples, "Ye shall be witnesses not just in your hometown, but throughout the whole world. Amen. And when we look at that, we think that can be overwhelming, the size of that job. Yeah. And we might think, well, how can we do that? And, you know, the apostles thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. They went and hid. They're like, we're going to hide. But the Lord didn't say, ye shall be witnesses. He started with the start of that verse says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The key was Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving. I've been here on the earth and I have to leave. I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you without God. And God the Holy Spirit came. And God the Holy Spirit came and indwelled them and stayed in the hearts of the believers so that they could have power to carry out the commission that God gave them. They weren't on their own. They didn't have to trust in their own abilities. They didn't have to trust in what they thought they could do. They had power from God. They were going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost to have the boldness to preach, to have the wisdom to know what to say, to be able to go and to do the work that God had called them. Because without him, it's impossible.
That's right.
We cannot go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need him. You know, without him, we can't breathe. By him, all things consist. We need the Lord for every single thing. So never think that you're on your own and never think that, how can I do this? Remember, you're not on your own. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I said there were two key things involved in the work of the Lord here in chapter 1, verse 8. The first was the Holy Spirit. The second was ye. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye is you, you guys. He said, you're going to receive power and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, every Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. But not every Christian goes to preach the gospel. There is the Holy Spirit, but there has to be someone who will say, I'll go.
Yes, sir.
I'll do it. The Lord called the apostles here and he said, you'll receive power and ye shall be witnesses. But they had to go. They had to do it. They had to be obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. So men like Peter, James, and John, people like that said, you know, they weren't jumping out, yes, I'm going to go. They were scared.
Yes, they were.
They thought they couldn't do it. They were hiding. Mm-hmm. But you know, they were obedient eventually. They were obedient to the call of God, and they took on the responsibility and they said, I'll go. I'll be the one. I'll open my mouth. I'll tell. I've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. I'll tell what I've seen. I'll tell them about his death, his burial, his resurrection. I'll tell them that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save them, but he will save them freely. Men like Peter, James, and John did. Another man like Paul did. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll see the account of this man named Paul. And Paul here is wrapping up his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is right at the end of his ministry, and he's kind of looking back. Look in verse 7 and 8 what Paul says. He was one of the ones who said he would go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. Paul says here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul's reaching the end, and he's looking back and said, I fought a good fight. You see, it's not easy. It's a fight.
Yes, sir.
It's a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle that wants to say that, you know what, just stay at home. Don't get up and go out the door. And you know, what will people think of you if you start giving them these gospel tracts? They'll think you're some sort of fanatic or something. That's the spiritual battle, the battle of our flesh that wants to just fit in with everyone else and doesn't want to stand out and be the one putting up their hand and say, I'll go, I'll tell them, I'll open my mouth, I'll be the witness. Paul is looking back and said, I've done that, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith. He's ready for his rewards.
Amen.
You know, that's wonderful for Paul, but you ever notice why he's actually writing that and who he's writing it to? Look in verse 1 in the same chapter. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Why? Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, from Paul's perspective, you're looking like, he's done it. Well, who did he write it to? He wrote it to Timothy.
That's right.
He said, Timothy, it's not over.
That's right.
My time is passing. I'm ready to get off the stage. God's calling me home. I've done the fight. I've kept on going. He wasn't fully done. He kept on pressing on. Timothy, you going to put up your hand? Timothy, it's now your time. I'm not going to be here. I've helped you. I've trained you. I've taught you. I've held your hand. I'm going. Just like Jesus left the apostles and he said, you got the Holy Spirit, it's your time. And Paul's time came, and Paul said, it's my time. I'm going to press on. I'm going to do the work of the Lord. I'm going to be the one who says, I'll go. Now he's saying, Timothy, it's going to be hard. People are not going to listen to you. They're not going to want to hear. And I'm not going to be here to help you. Will you go? Will you take on the baton? Will you take on the mantle? Will you take on the responsibility? Will you take, because it's your time, Timothy. Will you go? You know, praise the Lord, Timothy did. But 2025 is not Timothy's time. He's done his work. He's in heaven long ago. 2025 is not Paul's time. It's not Peter, James, and John. 2025 is our time. Paul's not here. John's not here. Timothy's not here. It's our time. Who's going to say, I'll be the one? I'll be the one here in Ballincollig to pass out some gospel tracts. I'll be the one to go side by side with another brother or sister in Christ and to be a witness for you, Lord Jesus. I'll be the one. You know, it wasn't morbid for Paul to tell Timothy, I'm ready to go. He was preparing him. It was real life. You know, likewise, faithful servants of God who have been doing so for decade after decade after decade, they're not going to continue forever. Their time is now, but their time is, it's getting on. I've been serving the Lord for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're getting closer to heaven. They're getting closer to rewards. I know we're not all, none of us are promised tomorrow. We don't know, the rapture might happen straight away, but but if it doesn't, who's going to take on the mantle? Who's going to be the next generation? Who's going to be that young person who says, I'll do it, I'll go. I'll be here, I'll open my mouth. Every time, every generation needs someone who will step up and say, I will go. When the Lord said to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me, send me. You know, when the Lord asked Isaiah that, he knew the answer. He knew that Isaiah was willing. You know, likewise, the Lord reveals to us in Scripture not the names of those who will say, yes, I'll go, but he reveals some of the characteristics of those. So today I want to look at, give you some points here on, from Scripture on, who will go? Who are the people who will go? Who are the people who will say, yes, Lord, I will obey. I will be one who will go and be a witness for you. So who will go for us? Number one, if you can turn to Acts chapter 13, as you were doing there. Acts chapter 13. So who will go? Who are the people who will go and do the work of the Lord? Number one is the lowly. The lowly. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here is the, in Acts chapter 13, they're in the city of Antioch, at the church in the city of Antioch in Syria, just north of Israel. And this church was central to the gospel ministry. It's central to, after the Christians were persecuted, they started to flee and they started to spread, and many of them came to this city in Antioch, and as they did, they gathered together, just like you're gathering together this morning. The Christians, the believers, gathered together and formed a church, and the Bible tells us in Acts 11, that's where the disciples were first called Christians. So this was central to the work of the Lord in going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And here you see it's being central to the further spreading of the gospel. What you see in verse number one is a whole host of men, a lot of different names of men who were there in the church. And I want you to consider the range of different men, the names that we read there, that were there in the church in Antioch, laboring together for the work of the gospel. Who were some of them? Look in 13 when it says now, as Barnabas. Barnabas, well, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, that Barnabas was a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. So Barnabas is from Cyprus, and he is a Levite, so he's got some religion in his background. It tells us there is Simeon, called Niger. There is Lucius of Cyrene. And then it says there is Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Tetrarch is the man who had John the Baptist beheaded. You know, there's some power there. There's some political influence. So this man, Manaen, the Bible tells us he was brought up with him. So he must have been pretty well off, I would imagine. Must have had some sort of riches and influence and power and privilege, presumably he threw all of that away to follow Jesus Christ. That's why he's in Antioch now, not in Jerusalem. No doubt he's the target of persecution. The end of verse number one says, and Saul. Who's that Saul of Tarsus? Well, Saul says of himself, who became the Apostle Paul, he says he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul said he was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. He was brought up in Jerusalem, learning the scripture, learning the Old Testament, learning the law. He was a Pharisee. Again, he was someone who had great power. He said he was zealous toward God, but he had a zeal not according to knowledge. He had the power to bind Christians, to put them in jail, eventually to be put to death. Again, this wasn't any nobody. So, and he too is on the run, because as soon as he got saved, the target one is on his back, and they're ready to kill him. So you have all of these people with, all these men with various different backgrounds, and they're working together. They're in a church, and as we look to see that there is unity in this church. They are all laboring, they're all praying together, they are working together. And you know, for men like that to work together in unity, there's going to be a lot of humility there. If they're going to be effective for the Lord, and they were. So we know that they were humble servants of God. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, a unified church is a church that is full of people like this. Full of people who are not looking on their own things. They're not out to see what they can get themselves out of church. They're looking to put other people ahead of them. They're looking to meet the needs of others. They're not selfish. They are being selfless. They are looking to others. And we see a church here in Antioch that was unified. So we know that they were humble and they would have been putting other needs before them. And these are the people the Lord called to go and who said, yes, we will go. Amen. We will go and we will do the work of the Lord, because they're not looking out for themselves. They're not trying to see what they can get out of life. They're trying to see, what can I do for the Lord? To the death. Many of them are, like I said, they're on the run. They are in Antioch because their life was in danger. You know, as they went, what did they do? Because the disciples went everywhere preaching the word. Yes. Even though they were in danger, they went and they preached the word. Wherever they went, they opened their mouth. Mm-hmm. They told of their Savior, of Jesus Christ. So when God calls Paul and Barnabas there in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, when he says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, verse 2, sorry, for the work whereunto I have called them. We know that they're lowly already. They are humble servants of God. We know they are able to work with other people. They're already working with others in the church. If you want to work with others, you have to be humble. You have to submit yourselves one to another. You know, same goes in family. You want to work together with your wife, with your family. You want to labor together in this life. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. God calls the lowly. God's not calling those who think they know it all. God's not calling those who cannot and will not work with others. Whether in church or in your family, he's calling those who will submit to the needs of others in their life. He wants, you know, because when you step out and you go and be a witness on the street, or you be a witness to your neighbors, you need to have some humility to do that. You need to not care about what they think of you. Care more, what does God think of me? You're going there because they need you. They need to hear the gospel. You know, maybe some of us don't go because we're not that humble. We think a bit too highly of ourselves, of our reputation, of what might people think of you. Well, if they think the truth, they'll think you deserve hell. How much worse can you get? Because that's the truth. We do deserve hell. Yes. What did people think of Jesus Christ when he hung on a cross? You know what they thought of him? He can't get down. He's weak. He was all talk. He was all mouth. He can't save himself. And he didn't answer back. He let them think of that. Why? Because he was selfless. He was hanging there for you and me. Amen. He wasn't hanging there to have a great reputation. And you know, he simply calls us to be witnesses of what he's done for us. He doesn't ask us to, physically speaking, to hang on a cross for him. You know, those who will go are those who are lowly, those who are humble. Let's ask ourselves, let's look in the mirror. Am I humble? Is that maybe the reason that I don't go? Is that maybe the reason I'm going but I'm struggling with it? Maybe my pride is starting to be lifted up a bit and I'm worried about what people think of me? I want to be liked. I want to have the answers to all the questions. You won't. You never will. God calls. Not just God calls. Who will go? The people who will go are the people who are lowly. Second kind of people who will go are the people who are laboring. The laboring. Look in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, the key word that sticks out to me in that verse, the very first word, small little word, as. Why? It says, as they ministered to the Lord. So the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Lord didn't say, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, before they started working. And he didn't say, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, after they had finished working their feet up and said, oh, I've done my work around here, what's next? They were busy laboring. They were busy working. They were doing the work of the Lord in Antioch. They were teaching the disciples, the other believers. They were teaching them in the word of the Lord. They were preaching the gospel in Antioch. They were busy laboring and ministering. They were fasting. They were busy doing that, and God called them. Why? Because the call of God, the call to go, is a call to work. See what the Lord said in verse 2? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, if you have a business, or you are hiring somebody and you want them to work, it's It's kind of basic, but you want to be able to know that they've worked sometime before. They've proved themselves a little bit to be hard workers. They might not have experience in the exact job you're giving them, but they have proven themselves to be not to be lazy. They have proven themselves that they are hard workers, they are diligent, you can trust them. That's what you're trying to find out. Can I trust this person to do the job that I want them to do? The people who will go and say, I will go, are the people who are already laboring where they're at right now. Amen. They might be laboring at their home, teaching their children the Bible, teaching their children the gospel. That's laboring. That's ministry. That's what God calls us to do. You know, why would we say, God, I think it is so important that I go to somebody else's children and teach them when I won't teach the ones that God has given to me in my family, in my home, to teach them, to train them, to give them the gospel, to give them beyond the gospel, all the things of the Bible. Laboring. The call to go is a call to work. God calls those who are already laboring, who are already working, who are not lazy where they're at, who are not sitting around waiting for a great call. You know, Lord's looking, are we laboring in the place we're at? Are we laboring with the things God has given to us already? Are we faithful in least so the Lord can find us to be faithful in much? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Keep your place in Acts 13. We'll be back there in a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know, why did the Lord enable Paul to do the ministry? Because he found him faithful in the first place. "For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know, Paul was put into that ministry right away in his Christian life. You know that the Lord had found him faithful in other areas and seen him faithful to be a worker, to be a laborer. The call to go is a call to labor. So who will go? Number one is the lowly. Number two, we see here, is the laboring. The third, people who will go, are the listening. The listening. Turn back to Acts 13, verse number 2. Acts 13, verse 2. The Bible says again, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So we've already seen this is in the church in Antioch. They have unity in the church. They have humility, these people. They are ministering to the Lord. They are fasting. And as they're doing that, the Bible says the Holy Ghost said. So the Lord spoke to them. The Holy Ghost said something. But you know, if the Holy Ghost says something, and we're not listening, we're not going to hear. We're not going to hear the call. So how are you going to go if you don't hear the call? And how are you going to hear the call if you're not listening? We need to be listening to the voice of God if we want to hear. If we're going to put our hand up and say, "Yes, Lord, I will," we need to hear the Lord's call in our life. Only those who are listening can answer the call of God. But you see, there are so many voices in this world, so many sounds in this world vying for your attention. Looking to get your attention. You know, even in a place like this, you have gone to the effort to get up this morning, to get ready, to come out to church. Some of you may have gone to great efforts, driven a long way. There may have been other things you had to say no to. You've gone to all that effort to come here. But, you know, there are still so many opportunities for other voices to distract us from the voice of God, even in church. Our phones, our eyes, our thoughts. What do I have to do? What am I worried about? Who does she think she is? So many voices, so many sounds that will distract us from listening to the Word of God. You know, as we're preparing for church and as we're sitting in church, we should be talking to God quietly. Lord, please help me to listen. Lord, do you have something for me from this? Please speak to me, Lord. Show me. What do you want me to hear? We need to be on purpose listening to the voice of God. But, you know, those sounds and those distractions, even in church, are nothing compared to the tsunami of potential voices there are when you step outside the doors. When you get into your car, when you go to the shops, when you're at home, at work, at school, everything vying for our attention, looking for us to pay attention to me. I want your attention. I want your money. I want your adoration. I want your love. So much trying to get our attention and can distract us from the voice of God. Remember, we were in Eastern Canada there in the summer for a few weeks, and on a Saturday morning we were helping the church we were at. On a Saturday morning, they hold up scripture signs on the road, and cars going by, and they have the scripture of the gospel held up. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if it's doing any good. I wonder if people pay attention to it. And as I thought about that, I just kind of glanced around, and it was kind of like suburbs, business parks, retail parks. I just glanced around, and you know what you see? Signs. Mm-hmm. Shops, yeah. Businesses, marketing, sign, all trying to say, look at me, yeah. Pay attention to my product, spend money at my shop. People pay millions to have those sort of ads, those sort of signs out. Look, please pay attention to me. I want your money. I want your service. I want your customer be a customer of ours. And it reminded me that if the world is willing to pay a fortune to do that, of course it's going to work. Somebody sees the gospel. We were another voice of God, just people, it was not audible, but a written word of God that people could see. You know, if Coca-Cola and McDonald's and all those will spend a fortune and they don't get tired of repeating the same thing over and over again. No. We need to listen for the voice of God. If we're going to listen for the voice of God, that means we must, on purpose, put things away from us that are going to distract us from listening to that voice. Amen. Isn't that what you've done today to a certain extent? You've put away all the other things you could be doing right now, and you've come because you want to listen. You know, we need to do that a little bit more throughout the day. It takes more effort when there's more distractions and more voices. and more sounds, more things that we could be paying our attention to. We need to, on purpose, have a time with the Lord, have time with God, have time reading His Word and stopping and pondering and praying over it and asking the Lord to show us some things from it. Lord, do you have something from this for me today in my own kitchen, in my own living room, as I think about it? Have scripture signs up around your home where it just stops you in your tracks every so often and you look and you think about the verse that you have up there. It reminds you that God is still speaking. So we must on purpose put those things away. Look in, you didn't look there, it's quoted up there. Psalm 78:1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." You know, to incline, it's like an incline, a slope. We need to incline our ear. We need to bend down a little bit. We have to stop what we're doing. We have to, what's the opposite of incline? Decline. I'm declining to listen to you because I'm going to incline to the word of the Lord. We have to, on purpose, try to get closer to the Lord. Stop and listen and let God talk to us. We have to listen to God. Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, are there things that you've told me years ago that I've tried to kind of put to the side? I've just got busy in life and God hasn't forgotten them. Those who will go are those who are listening to God. Are you listening to the Lord? Number four, those who will go are the looking. Those who are looking. Look in Acts chapter 13, verse number 3. Verse 3 says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So we know from verse 2, they were already ministering to the Lord. They were already fasting. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." But what was their response to God's call? Their response to God's call was more fasting and more prayer. Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." More fasting and praying. Why? Because this is a church and a people who were looking for God. Were they fasting and praying either to make sure, God, is this your will? Or were they sure this is their will and they were praying for the people as they were about to go, as Paul and Barnabas were about to head out the door and they were praying, "Lord, help them, Lord, strengthen them, Lord, prepare them, Lord, use them." The Lord doesn't tell us exactly, but either way they were praying. They were looking for the will of God. They wanted to be sure that God was going with them. They wanted to be sure that this is what God has for them. And they wanted God to work through Barnabas and Saul as they headed out the door and headed off to Cyprus and headed off to Turkey and Greece and all those places they ended up going to. They're praying. They're fasting. They're searching and they're looking for God to work in their lives. Are you looking for God's will?
Yeah.
You know, God has a will for us every moment of every day. Amen. We need to be looking for that. We need to be looking for God. Looking, Lord, what do you want me to, Lord, are you calling me to a certain place? You know, they are looking for God, and not only were Barnabas and Saul willing to go, the church there in Antioch were willing to let them go. Because God's will was what was important to them. you know, God, them letting Saul and Barnabas head off to do that work of the Lord, that meant there was going to be some goodbyes, some sadness. You know, it also meant that somebody else in the church was going to have to step up. There's going to be some gaps, some teaching that needed to be had. The things that Paul was doing, he's not there anymore. Things that Barnabas was doing, he's not there anymore. There's going to be need to, maybe they cleaned the toilets and they needed someone else to clean the toilets. See, it wasn't just Barnabas and Saul that were willing to go. The people behind them were willing to let them go and encourage them to go and to pick up whatever slack was left behind. Because they were all looking for the will of God. And looking for, Lord, what do you want me to do to contribute to this situation? The big picture is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, but there's a lot of little pieces to that puzzle. And every one of us has a part in that puzzle. So it's a church that are looking for God. Their comforts were set aside because they wanted God's will. Their comforts were set aside because people needed to hear the gospel. They were looking on the fields which were white already to harvest, because that's what the Lord wanted them to look at. They were looking at the things that God wanted them to look at. That's who will go. That's who will go, the people who are looking. They're looking for God. They're looking for God to work through them. They're looking for, how can I serve God? How can I labor for the Lord? How can God use me? They're looking for it where they're at. They're not waiting for a big change in their life. On a day-to-day basis, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you where I am. I want to serve you in church. I want to serve you when I'm in work. I want to serve you in my family. I want to be used by you. I'm looking, Lord, what is it in my life that needs to change? What is, maybe I'm not lowly. What is in my life I need to push out of my life? Maybe I'm listening to the world too much. They're looking for God. And finally, number 5, who will go? The letting. And that's those who are willing to let God work through them. Look in Acts chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. You know, ultimately, it takes someone who is willing to go. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear? You know, if Paul was the only preacher, we wouldn't have heard. But Paul passed on to Timothy, and Timothy passed on that responsibility to others, and all the way down through history, the responsibility is now passed on to us. How shall they hear without a preacher? Someone who will go is someone who is willing to let God use them. Who's not waiting to give God the latest excuse of why I can't. Sorry, I looked at Acts 13:4 already. Who doesn't focus on his own abilities. You know, if we just focused on our abilities and we were honest, we would realize, I can't. I can't go into all the world and preach the gospel. But those who will answer the call and will go and will say yes are those who will focus on the God who has called them. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You focus on, you know, God, the same God who called those apostles is calling me. The God who created me and knows me, knows my limitations, is calling me. Just like he said to Moses, who made your mouth? I know what you can and can't do, and I'm still calling you.
Amen.
Those who will say yes are those who are willing to let God work through them.
Amen.
Rather than just looking physically and saying, but I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this. God knows that. And if he's calling you, he's still calling you, knowing the things you can't do. Why? Because the things you can't do, when you go by faith and the Lord empowers you to do things you can't do, that's when God gets even more glory.
Yes, indeed.
That's when people look like they looked in the apostles and said, they've been with Jesus. Isn't that what you want people to say?
Yeah.
You want to see people to see Jesus in you. That's who you're trying to get them to turn to. From darkness to light, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want them to see your great abilities. You want them to see Jesus Christ. So who will go? Those who are willing to let God work through him. I won't turn there for the sake of time. Finally, where do you fit into missions? We all have a will. God has a will for all of us in this. Are you willing to go? Say, go where? Where God tells you to go. Maybe it's right here where you're at. Are you willing to go here? Are you willing to go to the farthest part of the world? You know, Ballincollig is no further or nearer to God than anywhere else in the world. God calls you to the other side of the world. He'll be with you. Are you willing? I didn't say yet as God called you to, but are you willing to go if he was to call you? Somebody has to.
Yes.
What if Timothy had said, nah, I won't. Paul, nah. He's looking for somebody to say yes. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to make yourself someone that he would call? See, what do you mean by that? Well, we've looked at the type of people that will say yes. Are you lowly? Are you a humble person? Do you come to church to serve? Do you look out for the needs of others? Or is it about what you can get? Are you listening to God? Are you looking for what God wants, not what I want? You know, because if we're honest, we'll, in our flesh, we'll want a comfortable life. We'll want to be able to have a nice life and no problems. Do we want what God wants? Are we looking for what God wants in our life? You know, that's part of making yourself someone that God can trust. Are you laboring already where you're at? Are you a diligent person? Are you diligent in your job? Are you diligent around church? Are you diligent at home? Or do you let everyone else pick up things after you? Be the kind of person that God can trust. Make yourself someone who called. Be willing to help those he has called. We looked at that in Sunday school. You can minister to the others that he has called. Are you willing to, if the Lord was to call someone from your church to go to another field, to another country, are you willing to pick up the slack that there would be from that emptiness, them gone? Are you willing to put out their chairs? Are you willing to do a little bit more? That's part of the support and the laboring. Are you willing to pray for them? Remember, there were two key parts to the apostles going into all the world and preach the gospel. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's come up. He's in you if you're saved.
Yes.
He's doing his part.
Amen.
But ye Are you doing your part? Are you willing? Who's going to go?